chapter 20 is where we'll be this morning. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter number 20. We continue our series study on the Ten Commandments. We are at the seventh commandment today. And you probably, most of you have this one memorized already. Seventh commandment given to Moses by the Lord. It's found in verse 14. And it simply says, you shall not commit adultery. I've given this message today the title of Fatal Attraction. Father, I pray and ask your blessings as we study your word this morning. We need your guidance. We need your help to understand. I realize, Lord, that you've given us the capacity to be able to understand things intellectually. We can process things in our mind, what they mean. But Lord, I believe with all my heart, it must go deeper than just that. It must go further than just intellectually understanding. This is truth that must grip us, the very center of our being. Help me to preach it this morning with love, with truth, and with power. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but to me, it seems as though the very things that the Bible commands us not to do are the very things that people seem to celebrate and advocate and boast about. I was thinking about this week as I was preparing this message. The entertainment industry. Don't get me started. But the entertainment industry today brings us movies and television shows that seem to make, I don't know that the word seem is even needed, but they bring us entertainment that makes things like sexual immorality actually glorious and a thing to be desired, even though the Bible is very clear we're to stay away from it. Billions of dollars are made every year selling sex. The ladies' man, he's a man that's looked up to. Guys want to be like the man who has all the ladies. In fact, the entertainment industry even has a way to make those people who are thieves, people who steal, to look like they're noble people. You can have a movie where a character is a thief. He's a liar. But if you make him somehow, some way down deep inside, have a good heart, and what he's doing is for noble purposes, then he's not a bad guy. He's just a guy that's gotten some bad breaks in life, and he has to bend a few rules to be able to get ahead in life. And we actually cheer them on. Because they mean well. So we get to this seventh commandment. We see that it has to do with physical desires. And this particular commandment, along with, I would say, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, might be the ones that cause us the most struggle physically, and that's because the flesh The flesh is all about some self. Tell you what, I love me some me. My flesh wants pleasure. My flesh wants satisfaction. My flesh wants to be gratified. And guess what? Sexual pleasure does that. It satisfies me physically, whether it's legitimately or illegitimately, doesn't matter. My flesh wants what it wants. And by the way, when it seems like I look around and I see everybody else doing it and the world promoting it, what's wrong with it? Well, there's a lot wrong with it. Y'all know these days people don't commit adultery. Y'all do know that, don't you? They have affairs, but they don't commit adultery. Y'all do know today that we don't have any drunkards. We just have alcoholics. Just clean it up a little bit. Don't sound quite as bad. The Bible calls them drunkards. The Bible calls it adultery. We say, I'm making lifestyle choices. I'm making decisions that best fit me. And the Bible says it's an abomination. This morning, during the sermon, we're going to call it what God calls it, adultery, immorality, and sin, iniquity, transgression. That's what the Bible says about it. And it really is a fatal attraction because this sin, we talked about murder last week, but I'm telling you, in another way, in another sense, this sin here kills. It's destructive. So let's look at it. A few things. First of all, let me talk about the details about adultery. The details about adultery. What does the Bible teach about adultery? Well, as you are probably already know, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but let me just tell you, adultery is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. That's adultery. It's not having an affair. You are committing adultery if you are sexually involved with someone who is not your spouse. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 20 says, do not have sexual relations with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with her. The Bible says you do that, you defile yourself. Adultery, as I've said, is to seek to have intercourse with someone who is not your spouse. Even if you yourself are not married, to have sex with someone who is the spouse of another is to commit adultery. Interestingly enough, according to the NIV commentary, the Jewish people saw adultery not only as an act of impurity, but also as an act of theft. You commit adultery, you stole my wife. And by the way, it's also goes right along with the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Now, the New Testament calls sexual sin fornication. That would include adultery, which is a work of the flesh, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 5. It is nothing but the flesh at work. Adultery is. Now, what was the punishment for adultery? Well, in the Old Testament, guess what? It was death. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So you go to John chapter 8 and you see the woman caught in adultery and she is brought to Jesus. They said the law of Moses says that she is to be stoned. They were absolutely correct, weren't they? That was the law of Moses. It would have been legitimate punishment according to the word of God and the law of Moses for her to have been put to death. But here's the question everybody has. Where was the man? And we all know that it wasn't about this woman in adultery. It might have been one of the very men that brought her to Jesus. It was all about entrapping Jesus. It wasn't about the law. It wasn't about what was doing right. She could have been stoned, and this is true, but we also see a change in the New Testament so that the punishment for adultery is not physical death, but there was and there still is punishment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. There is a judgment day coming for the adulterer. Sexual sin, according to the Apostle Paul, is especially egregious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul says, flee sexual immorality. And every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. The body is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And while adultery may not be the worst of the sins, according to Paul, its character is different than the other sins because you're sinning against your own body. When you commit adultery or some form of sexual sin, when you join yourself to a harlot, you're sinning against your body. Going back to the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 5 mentions the peril of adultery. Speaking of the one who goes to the adulteress, it says in verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 5, if you do, you will lose your honor and you will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. In short, what Proverbs is teaching us is that to choose the life of sexual immorality or adultery is to choose the path of ruin. And by the way, just so we're clear, the New Testament teaches 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that the adulterer is not in the kingdom of God any more than the murderer or the homosexual. God treats sexual sin very, very seriously. We laugh about it. We entertain thoughts about it. We pay money to see it. God treats it very seriously. And we should too. Number two, let me talk to you about the damage caused by adultery. Just a couple of things here. Number one, it destroys what God put together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, you all know this. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A man and a woman become one flesh through the union of marriage. And that means they are to be united for life. You say, but what about divorce? The Bible allows for some divorce. Understand. I understand that. Understand this as well. God hates divorce. Malachi 2:16. It was not God's plan from the beginning. God allows divorce. Why? Because of the hardness of your heart. Oh, that's a good word right there. I got to stop right there. God allows divorce because of the hardness of your heart, not because he wants you to go somewhere else to find happiness. Well, that was a quiet response, but that's okay. I stand by what I said. I get divorced because my heart's hard, not because God has said, "Ah, you're not happy. You need to go find somewhere else and find happiness." More about that in a minute, okay? Well, y'all are quiet this morning. Y'all know that. I don't know. Y'all are extremely quiet. That's okay. That's okay. Somebody once told me, said, "Preacher, I don't know how in the world you can preach when nobody says amen, when they just sit there and stare at you. I don't know how in the world you can preach so passionately." And my answer has always been, if I need somebody to prop me up to be able to preach, then I need to stop preaching. If I need amens to make me preach passionately and preach like I believe it, then I need to go find something else to do. The truth is the truth, whether people amen or not. Okay. All right. That wasn't in my notes. All right. But you know, here it is. Adultery in many cases, not in every case, leads to divorce. Okay. God makes a concession for divorce, but guess what? The good news is it doesn't always have to end that way. But the other damage is it destroys God's purpose for marriage. Three things. What is God's purpose for marriage? Biblically speaking, number one, procreation. Husband and wife, man and woman, not Mr. and Mistress, are given the task of multiplying, being fruitful, and filling the earth. Man and woman, not Mr. and Mistress. And of course, we all understand that's not something that the homosexual can do. So homosexuality, the gay lifestyle, cannot fulfill this purpose. Just can't do it. But not only procreation, sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he says, Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." God wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be different sexually. Does not want us to commit sexual immorality and be like the rest of the world. Marriage helps us to fulfill this purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 and 9, he says, "But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion." As I said before, the world celebrates immorality. They celebrate infidelity. And when God gave this command, he was trying to tell them, "I don't want you to be like the rest of the world. I don't want you to be like the other nations. I'm giving you this union, this marriage union, so that you can fulfill my purpose for you. And your desires are satisfied in a legitimate way." Listen to what he said in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through 5 to the children of Israel. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord.'" He could not have been any clearer. You are not to go and to engage in sexual immorality or anything else that the nations that I'm sending you to are engaged in. You are to be different. And the same is true for us today. The Bible is very clear. It is the marriage bed that is honorable. Hebrews 13:4, I read it to you just a few minutes ago. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed, the marriage bed, is undefiled. But there's one other purpose, and that's for illustration. I said procreation, sanctification, and illustration because marriage is intended to be a beautiful picture of Jesus, who is the groom, and the church, who is his bride. Adultery destroys that picture. Sexual immorality destroys that picture. The church is to be, we are to be his bride. We are set apart for him and him alone. But when we as Christians want to play around, When we want to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I know the Lord. But when we want to go outside of God's clear teachings, we're not an illustration to the rest of the world. Dear friends, please understand, marriage is not all about just you and your spouse. It's about what you represent to the rest of the world as a child of the living God. Remember that. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It is about painting a picture for the world to see. This is what fidelity looks like. And oh, by the way, even though God hates divorce in the Old Testament because of their adultery, God wrote Israel a bill of divorcement. He took them back, but because of their adultery, they played the harlot. He punished them. So when adultery occurs, it rebels against God's purposes for marriage. It looks for another way to find satisfaction. I'm saying, if I want to commit adultery, I'm not satisfied with God's way for me being satisfied. So I'm going to go look for something else. Incredible damage. Third thing, the desire of adultery. Let's go ahead and say it, adulterer. Adultery is an uncontrolled desire. It's an uncontrolled desire. One thing I want you to know about this, please understand, because I'm trying to get to the heart of this thing right here, okay? Not that what I have said is not important, but I'm trying to get to the heart of it, okay? Adulterous desires come from within you. That's where they come from. Matthew 15:19. I used this verse last week, speaking of murder. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. I'm going to tell you what, guys, listen to me. It does not begin with the beauty of a woman. It does not begin with what she's wearing, or in some cases these days, what she's not wearing. That's another sermon altogether. I don't know. I might touch on it in a minute. But now, ladies, understand me. Listen to me. This does not, because I don't, well, it's the man. It's in the, I understand that. Absolutely. Jesus said that's where it begins. But ladies, this does not excuse you so that you can dress provocatively with the intention of drawing attention to yourself and your figure and how good you look. You are responsible for that. The Bible still has modesty for ladies. That's one of its teachings. But what I'm saying here, the look alone is not where the problem lies. You can look at a woman and say, that's a good looking woman. You can look at a man and say, hey, that's a good looking man. I mean, you know, you ain't dead. You ain't blind. You know what's pretty. You know what's good looking. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's when those eyes stay there. And it's when that heart begins to desire and begins to lust. That's where the problem begins. You know, I heard somebody say the other day that whenever U.S. forces went into Iraq, they went into one of Saddam Hussein's residents that was captured. You know what they found there? Pornography. Folks, you can't get more modest than a woman in the Middle East where they dress. But still, there was pornography. Why? Because it doesn't come from the outside. It comes from in here. That's its source. I mean, Jesus said it himself. You see, if I ask him, Brother Steve, are you trying to say my heart's the problem? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus said that. I love saying that. So, you know, I mean, you still get mad at me, but that's okay, you know, because Jesus is the one who said it. That's where it comes from. There is no greater proof that adultery begins in the heart than to hear Jesus' words in Matthew Chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. You have heard it that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus is speaking here when he speaks of lust, of that intentional look with the intention of lusting. With the intention, I would if I could. Again, it's not looking and saying, how lovely. It's looking and saying, I want and I will. As somebody said, it's not that first look, it's that second look, it's that third look, it's that fourth look. That's what it is. Jesus is saying, to put it straight, that long before adultery takes place in the bed, it has already been visualized in the head because its source is the heart. Before you ever make it to the bed, you've already been there in your head. That's lust. That's adultery. And that desire comes from within. Another thing about the desire of adultery is this. An adulterous desire means that a person is more concerned with happiness than with holiness. Now, let me just say this. That I'm up, because I do have one more point, but it's not very long. But let me say this about this before I move on. It is interesting. I can't find anywhere in the Bible, and I've already alluded to this, but let me just go a little bit deep. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says that I am to get married in order to be happy. In fact, let me tell you, let me give you Paul's marital advice. Y'all ready for this? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. He says this. Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. That's real romantic, isn't it? We talk about wooing somebody and being all romantic and being sweet. Paul says, listen, because you can't control yourself, go get you a wife. And go get you a husband. Paul wouldn't have been very good at writing Hallmark cards, would he? You say, Brother Steve, you say we should. Nope, that's not what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Listen, if you're willing to wait, you're willing to pray and trust God and wait, God in his time and his way, I believe, is more than capable of sending the person into your life with whom you can unite and you can fulfill those physical pleasures. And guess what? You'll be joyful. But you see, I mean, when I'm doing God's will, everything above that, that's just gravy. That's just icing on the cake. I just believe that God is sovereign enough, if we'll just trust him and we'll just wait on him, that God in time will send us the person he desires us to have. I ain't saying it's going to be easy. I know people say to me sometimes, say, Bridger, you just don't know what I'm going through. So how do y'all know what we've been through? How do you know what she's had put up with? Y'all pray for her. This is serious business. And I know I laugh about it, and I kind of joke about it, and maybe that's good to kind of ease some of the tension sometimes. But If I commit adultery, I'm saying I'm more concerned about me being satisfied than I am about God being glorified. I am more satisfied. I am more concerned about me being happy than I am about my holiness and being a picture. Do y'all understand now a little bit better when I preach something like this? Because I know this makes some people uncomfortable. It's not the easiest thing in the world to stand up here and preach something like this. It makes me a little uncomfortable, to be honest with you. But now, do y'all now understand now why Jesus said, listen, before you follow me, you better make sure you count the cost. You better make sure you understand what it means to follow me, because this is the rules. God's not saying, hey, let's make a deal. God's saying, this is the deal. You understand why? Now he says, listen, you better sit down and make sure you got enough to finish. You better make sure that you got what it takes, because if you're going to call me, you're going to have to be different. And if you follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and you're going to die to yourself. Listen, folks, I don't care who it is. Listen to me. I'm going to move on to this last point. Don't use another person to satisfy your own personal desires. Don't use relationships to do that. Obey God's command. Listen, men, wherever you may be, whoever they may be, don't use a woman. Don't use a woman. Find you a spouse. Be true to that spouse. And honor God in your marriage. That's what he calls us to do. Fourth point, deliverance from adultery. Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. If your right eye, this is right after what Jesus said about looking at someone with lust in your heart, having committed adultery already. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members should perish than your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you than for one of your members. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast in hell. Jesus' point here is that we need to deal drastically with this issue. There are things you can't watch, things you can't see, places you can't go. There's people you can't be around. And I know what somebody will say then. Say, wait a minute, Brother Steve. Wait a minute. Now, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth here. Now, in one moment, you're talking about this comes from the heart. And then the next thing you're talking about, man, we need to get around. We need to be careful of our surroundings. We can't be looking at stuff because that's what causes adultery. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, yes, adultery, its source is the heart, but there are things that we see, there are places that we go that are attractive to the flesh, that will tempt us. Because by the way, this flesh and its desires has not been eradicated yet. It's still there. And if you're not careful, you will fall victim to it. And so, in certain cases, you might need to get rid of something. You might need to stop going somewhere. You might need to stop being with someone or some people. And by the way, when your heart is pure, when your heart is right, you will have a desire to deal with those things. You want to deal with those things because you know they're not pleasing to God. The inward change comes from receiving a new heart that comes from Christ. You need a new heart, you adulterer, you murderer, you fornicator, you liar. You need a new heart. Fortunately, God specializes in heart transplants. But you and I, we must be careful ourselves to not put ourselves in places where we could be tempted. I can tell you one surefire way for me not to fall over the edge of the Grand Canyon. I can assure you of one surefire way to not fall over the edge of the Grand Canyon. That's to stay away from the edge of the Grand Canyon. If I stay away from it, I ain't gonna fall. I am not worried about falling over the edge because I'm nowhere near it. And if you will deal with your heart, if you ask Christ to give you a new heart, you can find victory too. Not that the desires, the flesh will always be there, but you can have victory. So, let me say this. Folks, I don't need a marital counselor to tell me what the marital problem is. I already know what the marital problem is. The counselor has already told me what the problem is. The problem is my heart. Okay? I don't have to go to a marriage counselor to tell me this, that, and the other. No, the counselor has already said it's a matter of your heart. And guess what? The marital counselor has already told me how to fix it. Now, can you go to marriage counseling? I'm sure there's time and places that marital counseling can help you. You can go to good, godly counseling that will guide you scripturally. I'm not saying you should stay away from it. I'm just telling you, before you ever go there, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It's two selfish people that want their way. Because that old flesh still hangs on. But the Bible is very clear that adulterers can be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He says, that's what you were, but you ain't no more because you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to run to Jesus today. Run to him. I'm not talking about walk. Run to him. Beg him, oh God, please, this heart of mine is driving me crazy. It's ruining me. And I don't want to be that way anymore. That's what the counselor says. That's what we need to do. Again, there'll always be temptations. There'll always be that bait out there. The flesh will always be there. But thank God, with a new heart, with the Spirit of God living within you, you will be able to find victory that you never found before. But please, folks, please this morning, let's not make excuses for why we look at what we look at, for why we go where we go, for why we do what we do, for why we're involved in what we're involved in. Let's just say, hey, listen, my heart's not right in this matter. And as I said, adultery can be a fatal attraction. It can be. It kills families. It kills relationships. Between husband and wife, it kills relationships between children and their parents. It can turn a church upside down. It's already turning our nation upside down. It is a fatal attraction that does not have to be because Christ can deliver us. He can call me and say, Rusty, do you really? I do believe. Say, well, you're dumb. Well, I'm just dumb enough to believe it. I believe Christ can deliver us from it. You say, well, preacher, before, as you're closing up, say, I've done this. I've committed. I did that. What should I do? Ask for forgiveness. Go to God. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to forgive you of your sin, to cleanse you from the unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Repent. Confess. Believe that God has forgiven you. And from this day forward, go on and serve Jesus. Learn your lesson and go on and serve Jesus with all that you have. Being grateful for his mercy and his grace. Amen.